Good morning. Welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for July 23. We're almost done with July, which is going to be great because I'm sure that in August it's going to be cooler.
Yes.
Right? I don't know.
Well, we now live in a house without central air, which you like, but I can't.
I'm so happy.
I like the house, but I'm about ready to just drop the money and buy central air.
I think that I have never been this happy, actually, since I've lived in America as I am now.
Everyone is smelling bad and sweating.
Nobody smells bad. Actually, the children are bathing more regularly, which I feel
they have to.
Really helpful because I forget about bathing them. So, but I am the only happy person in the entire Northeast because it was 100 degrees yesterday or something. And everybody looks like they want to die.
There was like 85 in the house, I think.
In the house. Yeah. That's perfect. That's perfect. So, well, we're not here to talk about the weather today, even though I would like to talk about it. We thought we would once again talk about politics. And that's really only because there's...
Well, also, not just Paul. We want to talk about the Trump nomination, but also,
the
convention,
for the
also just the old vestiges of the religious right.
Yeah.
And the moral majority. With their last gasp, throwing their support behind Donald Trump. And what that says about the...
The state of the church.
The state of the church and where we are as evangelicals in America. So
I'm going to just launch. I know we need to back up and talk about the convention this week, but I want to put it right out there that I'm not going to be using the word evangelical much about myself because I think it's a word that doesn't carry any actual meaning.
Well, Russell Moore wrote an article. Did you read Russell Moore's article? Because you just exactly what he said.
Sorry.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
He's no longer using that term for himself because
he must have been thinking what I was thinking.
He says that. He said, first of all, when a non-Christian hears the word evangelical now, they associate it with
Trump.
Right. With all of these, it has all this political baggage that it once never
wasn't
had.
Wasn't supposed to have.
And wasn't supposed to have. So we use evangelical and people think, oh, well, you're a Republican.
Yeah, and most people... Trump won the evangelical vote. That was the narrative that went through the South.
Yeah.
When that wasn't actually true, but
right. So he says he wants to be called a gospel Christian. I'm not sure I like that.
A gospel Christian.
Right.
Yeah, because nobody agrees on what the gospel is either.
Right.
So
right.
I don't think that's
well. It's better than Christ follower because that tends to be that reduces Christianity to like works righteousness and. What you do, rather than what you trust,
who
you trust.
Christ is, so.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to work all week long.
And it sounds so pretentious. I'm not a Christian. I'm a Christ follower.
I'm a Christ follower. Well, I'm a myself follower. I just follow myself. What else would you... I'm a Buddha follower. It's so weird. No, I'm going to think of something better to call myself.
Yeah.
Something that sounds loving... And angry. No, I can't think of anything that sounds loving.
And angry.
But I'm going to work on it, just like I'm going to find an awesome name for my book. But that's another discussion.
Now we're, again, wandering away from it.
Okay, so tell me about what your thoughts about this week's convention were. What did you think?
The highlight for me was Cruz's speech, where I thought he did what very few politicians ever do. And he told the truth, and he did it with integrity. And I know there are lots of people out there upset because he broke his vow, apparent vow.
As if somehow, like, now vow-keeping is a big thing. did that happen?
Look, I understand that, and he did say that he would support the ticket, the Republican ticket, whoever it was nominated, but a vow is not something that trumps... That trumps good and evil. So if you make a vow to do something, but then realize that in carrying out that vow, you're going to commit a greater evil, then you say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have made that vow. I repent. It was a sin of me to speak so rashly. I am now not going to do this, and I trust that I will be forgiven because Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And that's what you have to do. This is why Jesus says not to make vows, because we don't want to, you don't want to make a vow that doesn't, that's going to bind your conscience to something that
isn't going to be helpful.
Isn't biblical and isn't helpful, right? So,
well, as I sort of saw it all week, as people were freaking out and flapping about this, lots of people vow to stay with their spouse until they die, and Donald Trump doesn't.
He broke many vows, right? Donald Trump has broken many vows.
Why are we, you know, fussing about it?
And caused his, women, many women, he brags in his book, The Art of the Comeback.
Oh my gosh.
He's led them into breaking their vows.
So why the sudden, you know, anger at Cruz for?
Well, because he's not towing the line. He's not getting in. I think there are some on our side who are so.
Well, what do you mean by our side?
I'm sorry.
Whose side are we on?
Yeah, you're right. And I don't know why I said it that way. But I used to be, I guess I used to be a Republican. I used to consider myself.
Too.
So that's why I'm just kind of used to talking that way. But there are some who think that, that of course, and I think they're right, if people don't vote for Trump, that Hillary will be elected. And Hillary is such a horrible option, which she is.
I mean, she really is.
She's an awful, awful candidate, and who will do more horrendous things, just like Obama has done with regard to abortion. She's going to continue the mass slaughter of babies. Absolutely, she'll continue the destruction of marriage. She'll continue all the things that we oppose. That's absolutely right. But I don't have any guarantee. There's no guarantee at all that Trump will do all of those things. We have no idea what Trump will do, because Trump, you know. 5 years ago, Trump was on the very same side that Hillary is on. He just changed his view. He changed his positions so that he could run on the GOP ticket. That's why he did it. And so everything that, and when everyone said, oh, well, Trump said he's going to do that. Trump said he was going to stay faithful to his wife. Trump said he was going to, Trump said lots of things in his life. And the history of his political position is one of liberal socialism, or socialist, you know, socialist type policies that he supported, and he supported abortion. He supported,
I mean, he's.
No, he's very liberal. No, no,
he. Economic policy.
His economics.
His economic.
His economics. Let me get rich. But politically, he was on the left.
Oh well, yeah.
Quite socialist in his outlook on things. Before his.
Although I feel like that doesn't really mean much either, socialist, because when you walk around asking people what socialist is, they don't know what that means.
I know.
So it's that has become as useful a way of understanding stuff as evangelical.
Right.
That's what's interesting, as we say daily.
Well, he has
a total breakdown of people to use words that mean anything. It's really. Amazing.
Well, in any case, this is the problem. This is the same argument that evangelicals are making during Bill Clinton's presidency, after the Monica Lewinsky thing, which was, look, we have a serial liar in the White House, and so we can't, he's untrustworthy, and he has no moral center.
Right.
So we can't, anything that he says is subject to doubt, and that's a dangerous thing for a nation, to have a president who is untrustworthy at the
helm.
Right. And those lies, according to many quote-unquote evangelicals at the times, they disqualified him, Bill Clinton, from the presidency. But here we are, you know, a couple decades later, we have a man who has lied, if not as much, more than Bill Clinton, and is, if it's possible, more immoral than Bill Clinton. And we think he's going to do what he says. We think we can trust what he says he's going to do. Look, if it becomes politically expedient for Trump to himself become an abortion doctor, and do, I have no doubt that he would do it. He would be the best abortion doctor ever. He's huge.
That's really terrible. Well, yes, I probably agree with you. I mean, how do we know?
You don't know.
He
could be worse than him. We don't know. We have no idea. But regardless, by the arguments that we've been using for years against Bill Clinton and Democrats,
that's
he is unworthy of the office.
So,
and that Hillary's unworthy too doesn't make him worthy.
Right. And what's so tragic, I think, is that so many of us, well, not me particularly, I mean, I haven't really looked to Focus on the Family to guide me in anything. I wasn't around when that was really a big thing. I know that James Dobson wrote some helpful books for people, mm-hmm. and that's kind of a place where people found help. The thing that lately, you know, the problem with the American church is that we had things called Focus on the Family and the religious right and whatever. Instead of just really, and I'll use the word limit, but I don't think it's the word I'm looking for. Instead of limiting ourselves to the gospel, to the propagation of the gospel, to going out and really centering in on scripture. So if ordinary churches and ordinary pastors had really tried to exposit the word of God week by week by week, and really, really worked on that, and really gone in deep to the scripture, and really tried to go out into the world, then the church would have been healthy. But instead of that, we confuse the political process for the gospel.
Absolutely.
And the family for the gospel, and being good for the gospel, and all these other these trappings of the gospel, the things that you get when you, the outward forms of life that become mm-hmm. apparent when you really center in on the scripture, the effects of it became the thing itself.
Right.
And that's so tragic. But it's why we are where we are, because this white poor Mr. Dobson, who's really a Christian, I know, would do something so foolish as to say that Mr. Trump is a born-again Christian. Wow!
When Trump said explicitly, I've never repented of anything in my life, I don't think I need to repent.
He just uses the name of Jesus.
You can't be a Christian unless you repent of your sins.
That's we get upset when Hillary uses the name of Jesus, if she has, I don't know if she has, or Mr. Obama, but when Mr. Trump does it, suddenly it's okay.
Right.
No, it's not. It's still not okay.
Right.
And we shouldn't have thought that the political process would be our savior. And so now the political process has failed us. And we're still in it to win it. I guess people are still hoping that Trump will be our savior.
Right.
And that's so tragic. I just want to mourn.
That's true. I think you're right about that. That over the years, at least, the quote-unquote evangelical church has so identified itself with republicanism.
Right.
And so swallowed the idea of the lesser evil. Right. That's mm-hmm. been going on for a number of elections
now. Yeah, we have to do this because of abortion. We have to vote for somebody who's actually not pro-life, because he's more pro-life than the other guy.
That was last election. That was Romney, who was pro-abortion, but he was less pro-abortion than
Mr. Obama,
because he was only pro-abortion in the cases of rape and incest.
that's really
dumb. So now, how far do we go? Who's the next lesser evil? And pretty soon, the lesser evil is pretty evil.
Well, that's where we are. The two evils are both pretty evil. Right? I don't really know which one is less evil.
So,
it's hard for me to
judge. If I had to choose between, and I know this is an extreme example, but the principle of the lesser evil is one that guts virtue. It's a very pragmatic principle. It's one that says the means justify the end, and if the end is good, we can go ahead and pull the lever for something that's evil. So do evil so that good will result is the argument. And in this case, we are not dealing with a kind of soft abortionist like
Mr. Romney.
He's a nice person. We're dealing with a rank, immoral, demonstrable liar who has not a thread of honesty at all running through his career. Serial adulterer. Chasing poor people out of their homes by and housing that belonged to him by hiring drug pushers and drug addicts to live there.
Oh my gosh.
When they wouldn't leave. Just horrific evil
in his personal
past,
way.
In his past, in the way he's dealt with money, in the way that he's dealt with people, he goes after them. He's vindictive. Trump is for Trump, but now this has become the lesser evil. And next election cycle, who knows who the lesser evil is, but it's becoming more and more evil.
Mrs. Clinton. So I've decided I'm going to not be calling people, you know, Trump and Hillary. Why does she get to be called Hillary? Unless we're going to call him Donald, which may be useful.
The Donald.
Okay, instead of Mrs.
We could call Clinton. Yeah, you're right. We should use.
I just trying to use the correct formula, I think, illustrates how ridiculous it is. So, Mr. Trump and Mrs. Clinton. It actually feels like Dickens to me to say it this way. Mrs. Clinton is also for the death of people overall, you know, and the death of the poor, crowned under the heel of the state, and all kinds of ugliness. But she's coming out as looking like the more reasoned, less hysterical option.
Oh, she's sane. I mean, there's danger on both sides.
Not. I mean, she's also for herself down the line.
Oh, absolutely. There's danger on both sides. I mean, she's a studied, calculated evil.
Right.
Who knows precisely what kind of evil she wants to do, and she's planned it out in advance, and she has a way of doing it.
Yeah.
And she has a
has a team of people who planned it.
Yeah. Right. So there's the danger from calculated, experienced, planned evil on the one side to the wildly insane,
unhinged,
crazy, I'm going to do whatever I want to do that's going to make me...
So what was the choice? It was between Caligula and Nero.
That's a good...
Which one is the lesser evil?
Which one shall we pick?
So I was really, you know, I like Ace of Spades a lot, and I read him every night, and the whole website catch up on everything, and I fall asleep because it's funny, and it's he's a good writer. And all of the people that write there. But he wrote a long piece this week about how if you don't vote for Trump, you are voting for Hillary, and you need to take moral responsibility for that vote. You need to morally accept
that you're... That's ridiculous, though.
Okay, well, explain to me how that's...
Because you are not, in fact, voting for Hillary.
Because if you vote for Trump, you know that Hillary will win.
But you're not voting for Hillary.
Well, what's the difference?
You
between...
are actually. Can you grant this point that if you go into a voting booth and you don't vote for Hillary, and you don't vote for Trump, you're not voting for Hillary. Is that... can you accept that?
I do, but
that
I
may
just,
be the consequence.
I'm seeing it everywhere. You need to accept responsibility for the consequences of your actions.
Sure.
And that's been the argument all the way along. This is why we couldn't. We had to vote for Mr. Romney. We had to vote for Mr. Dole. We had to
I fully accept the consequences that will ensue from us not voting for the evil, the lesser evil. I understand that. At the same time, I don't take the blame for that. Who do I blame? I blame a corrupt Republican Party, a gutted evangelical... grouping
Church.
In the
that
this man gained so much popular support among conservatives and among Christians.
Close.
That's why we have him there. It's not because if he is elected ultimately, or if she's elected ultimately, it's not because I don't vote for Trump. It's because of those who actually supported him, put him forward, and shouted down everyone who tried to resist him.
Yeah.
And that's why. All the chickens, as that guy said, who's that guy? All the Republican chickens are coming home to roost.
Oh, Mr. Obama's pastor.
Right.
Republican chickens are coming home.
That's what's happening. I am not responsible for the Republican Party gutting itself and prostituting its principles. In order to put forward this madman as
an
autocratic madman as...
Yeah. And I mean, I do think a little bit that God could bear some of the blame because...
Blame. Oh, I know. God is...
Credit.
This is judgment.
16 people up on the stage, and I keep saying it, but I want to say it again because I love saying it. It's 16 people on the stage, and any of them would have been wonderful, even the sleepy Ben Carson, who seems weird and thinks that aliens built the pyramids. Even Mr. Carson would have been lovely as president. All 16 of them, even Mr. Kasich.
I wouldn't have voted for Kasich. He's an abortionist.
Okay, well, but just in a sort of lesser of 16 evils.
I think so. Maybe down. I'm not right about that. I thought he supported abortion in the case of incest or rape. I don't know.
Well, Mrs. Fiorina did. Yeah. Ms. Fiorina. Yeah, Fiorina. Yeah. And so, even though I really liked
but her. They would have all been better.
Would have been better in the sense.
They'd have been lesser evils.
Lesser evils. And it just unrelentingly narrowed down in this really, it feels to me, divine way that they just were picked off one by one. And the last man standing, who people personally loathe, this is the other interesting thing, Mr. Cruz is loathed personally because people just hate him. They just dislike him. They dislike his personality. But he had actual principle.
Right.
And in this that is the most climate, shallow. I know, but that is the most shallow.
I've heard that from a number of people. I'm supporting Trump. People who consider themselves Christians. Oh, I like Cruz. I think he has the right policies, but.
Well, they don't like him. They personally hate him.
They don't mean personal like him. They like his policies, but then they'll say, but Cruz, I can't stand listening to him.
Yeah, I just can't stand him. He sounds like a preacher.
Who cares?
Okay. Yeah.
Who cares?
He's the one person who keeps his word, largely. I'm sure he's a sinner.
Oh, no, he broke his vow. He did.
Oh, right, just recently.
No, see, he broke his vow. Right, so he's a liar. Lion Ted.
But so the one person who managed to, so he ticked everybody off, and that's worth more. That personal dislike is worth more than
the content of what he does. Well, that's...
And that's also very interesting.
Insofar as that's part of the evangelical reason for voting for Trump, that's a result of years and years of Joel Osteen.
Yeah, I just need to feel good when I go to church.
I want a preacher who tells me nice stories and tells me I'm a winner, and that I'm gonna, all I need to do is think positively and go out there
and the tail.
You're gonna succeed and everything.
Guess what?
Right. So
I think
so
we're the tail. Right.
So well, I mean, look, Joel Osteen is pleasant to listen to. He's charismatic. And he's just the right kind of heretic for our age, because we want rhetoric, we want flash, we want style.
By rhetoric, do you mean just like words?
Yeah.
Without content.
We want flashy rhetoric. We want sophistry.
Okay.
We want people to have the ability to talk well, entertain us.
Right.
We look for our pastors to be celebrities, and that's what we want. And so, of course that's going to bleed over into the political sphere.
Yeah.
So, of course, Trump, hey, he was on reality TV. He's an entertainer. he's listening to him. I admit, it's fun listening to him speak because it's going to come out of his mouth. And he's an interesting character. Oh, by the way, we'll maybe get to this a little bit later, but when I watch him speak, when you look at the hand gestures, just do a side by side. Go look at an old newsreel of Mussolini without sound speaking, and then look, then watch Trump speak without sound.
Do you realize that by saying this out loud, we are going to be rounded up later?
But look at, and it's frightening. the hand gestures, the look on the face.
So you think he's a strong man. You think he's studied types of Mussolini?
I would not doubt it. He's a strong man. He's schooled. He wants to have that kind of autocratic power. I don't have any doubt at all. And so I wouldn't doubt that he studied their speaking techniques. But anyway, the whole point is that's where our culture is. Our culture is a culture that thrives on entertainment. Our the Christian church now in America is all about entertainment.
Yeah.
And so let's bring on the dancing bears and the circus. And do away with that preachy old Ted Cruz. Who cares what, who cares if he has some policies that I agree with, and who cares that I don't have any idea what Trump's going to do because he made it up last month. I like Trump because he's more flashy. That's the idea.
What was it? The You can go to, this was on Chris Roseborough, you can go to church, you can get a VIP seat at church with, it's like a movie chair with popcorn and a mini
fridge. Yeah, there's a museum of idolatry if you go to Chris Roseborough's site, which is the pirate, I'm sorry, Fighting for the Faith, and you go to the Museum of Idolatry, which is a blog on that site. Yeah, there's apparently a church, I forgot where it was, that
you can.
It's the movie church.
It's
you go in, and apparently the preacher will be dressed this Sunday like Iron Man. And I hope he's in shape. I hope he's not a fat guy in an Iron Man suit.
That would be better.
Which
I would love that.
And there's supposed to be a smoke machine, of course, that is going to shoot up at several points during the service. And there's a VIP section. Right. So, and the idea is if you go to one of their campi. There are a number of campuses for this church, and each one of them has a movie set, and you take a picture of yourself, a selfie, with yourself. I guess a selfie would be with yourself. At a movie set, and then you post it to some social media site. You are entered to win a VIP seat at this church service on Sunday morning or Sunday. I don't know when it is, but Sunday sometime. And they'll sit you in a nice plush, nice plush movie seat.
Movie seats.
There's if you get to sit there, there's a ice box or cooler, not an ice box, an actual refrigerator,
a mini fridge.
Yeah, drinks, popcorn, all the luxuries of a movie. Because you are basically watching a movie. You're not, and the sermon's going to be about Nemo, apparently, or Finding Nemo.
Why isn't it about?
I don't know.
Iron
That's
Man.
An old movie. They should be doing about. They should be
Finding
doing.
Dory. You mean?
Oh, is that a new?
It's Finding Nemo again, over again with a girl fish.
Oh.
I think.
Oh, okay.
We haven't gone to see it, and probably we won't because we hate all things. But, well, you know, I think this is why Good Shepherd, you know, we should rethink our outreach.
All right, so tomorrow I'm going to show up.
Actually, you should put on a Nemo costume, if that's what the sermon is about. Why so many different movies?
Well, the sermon is about the wicked rich.
Oh, great.
We're in James chapter 5. And he begins by saying, "Weep and wail, you rich people.
You horrible people."
That'll pack him in.
That's going to be great. This is going to be a great day.
We should offer VIP seating for it.
We should.
VIP.
Well, for who? The rich or the poor? Who gets to be the VIP in
this
scenario?
Say who gives, yeah.
Well, we could think more about it.
We could trick everybody. We could ask the highest donation because it's the VIP, and then I could lecture them about
they'd be in the
misuse of their money.
So when you're screaming at them, they can feel bad, and you'll be able to see their tears glistening on their cheeks.
Right.
Somebody on my blog this week.
The anxious seat.
The anxious bench. Somebody was upset that I suggested this week that, in fact, Mr. Trump and also Mrs. Clinton were, in fact, not Christians. And how could I be so judgmental as to know their hearts? And I did want to say publicly on the internet that I don't know their hearts, of course. I don't know the depths of Mrs. Clinton's
blackened
soul. But one thing that you can do in the Christian life is have discernment, which is like judgment.
Right.
When you say, "Judge not, lest you be judged," by that we mean you need to judge something or you're going to go to hell.
Well, and the same guy who said that said, "Make right judgments.
Right.
Don't make evil."
You mean
right
Jesus.
Yeah,
right,
Jesus,
okay. I was just like, what guy are you talking about? Jesus said, make
Jesus
right judgments. So you do have to look at people's character and the manner of their life and... Sure, and you don't know at the last moment they made me snatch from the fiery pit of hell by Jesus.
I mean, I think there's an objective way of saying this, because we can say someone's not a Christian who's a heretic.
Right.
And we can say someone who's not a Christian is not a Christian when they haven't ever made the commitment that Jesus commands Christians to make, which is repent of your sins and trust in my work and not yours. And Trump has explicitly said, Mr. Trump, has explicitly said that he has never done that. So he's not a Christian.
I mean,
that's an objective thing.
But Mrs. Clinton
I saw that. Damn. She belongs to the United Methodist Church, which automatically means
she's definitely going to heaven.
Well, no, but she affirms homosexual marriage. Behavior. and she affirms the killing of babies.
So
I think on both counts, that would put her in the realm of a heretic. And so because
and
of that, we
can
ungodly. Say by an objective measure, she is not a believer. She's not a Christian. Now, to say someone's not a Christian does not mean that we know they're her eternal destiny, because, of course, she could repent. And so could Mr. Trump. We pray they do. And to say someone's not a Christian is only saying that by the objective standards given to us in the scriptures, this person does not meet that qualification.
Right.
An unrepentant person is simply not a Christian. A heretic is simply not a Christian. We don't know what's going on in their hearts. We don't know what Jesus is going to do in the end. But by objective measures, that person is not to be counted among the
among the visible body of Christ.
Yeah, a visible body of Christ.
We can say things about the visible body.
Right.
And so, you know, when we talk about Mr. Hitler, we can say, based on
Are you
going to
say
his,
Mr. for everything?
I totally
mean,
am.
Mr. Hitler.
We could, how do you do Kim Jong-il?
It should
Kim,
be...
Mr. Would it be like Mr.
Mr. Kim Jong
Il?
Well, I don't. Shouldn't you use their honorific titles like?
Oh, the venerable.
If you're going to be that, yeah. If you're trying to be Dickinsonian, shouldn't you?
I should. I'm going to have to do some more research.
Right.
I have to spend more time on the internet this week, not less.
Right.
So.
So I think Clinton. You'd say Senator Clinton, wouldn't you? Or
Senator Clinton? No, our Lady
Secretary Clinton.
Of the Secretariat.
Yeah. Secretary Clinton, right.
Secretary Clinton. Well, Mr. Hitler, we could say, certainly, potentially, he might have grasped onto the name of Jesus at the last moments of
sure.
his dying
and
breath.
Sure,
and he might
be in
heaven.
And I pray that that's happened.
But he was never part of the visible body of Christ.
Yes.
Never, not even once.
Right.
And so we can say, from our standpoint, that he wasn't a Christian. And
right.
that doesn't make us hateful and mean.
Right. And we should
no,
also
it
add, because that came up,
okay.
That came up on my Facebook page. Someone said, well, Cruz is a heretic.
Because he's the new Apostolic Reformation.
He's part of the new Apostolic Reformation. Someone else said that he's not, that his father was, that
Syndicate.
He's a Baptist.
Is that the prophecy open mic
Syndicate
craziness?
The Cruz, but yeah. It's,
okay.
The new Apostolic Reformation is a heretical branch off of kind of Pentecostal charismaticism that says that there are new God has given us apostles in this latter age, and they have the same authority that
are
the original apostles have, and
because
they're absolutely crazy if you read what these guys say. Todd Bentley, for example, was an apostle.
And Todd Bentley,
and
I just
Rick
want
Joyner,
to throw in here,
all those guys,
thought that God was calling him to kick women with cancer in their stomachs to heal
yeah,
them with
yeah.
his big hobnailed boot. And
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
So what these guys say, that you know, they're apostles, they have the authority of apostles, they can speak God's word as if they were apostles, and God has told them that they need to conquer the seven mountains of education, government, all these things, and win over basically the United States for God. It's a new movement of the Spirit.
Why can't God just do it himself?
Right. So anyway, Cruz's father apparently was part of the Latter Rain movement, which became NAR, and some say that he also is, and he may be, I don't know. But to say someone's a heretic, I mean, even Hillary Clinton, to say someone believes a false teaching, doesn't disqualify them from civil...
From holding political office.
It would definitely disqualify Cruz if he is NAR from ever being a pastor. Absolutely. And if he were in my church, I'd want to correct his views on these things. And he wouldn't be able to join our church holding that view.
But he can fulfill, the civil requirements.
But yeah, there's nothing in the scriptures that demands that someone who is holding a civil office must have correct Christian doctrine.
So Governor Romney could have.
Yeah, I would
been
have voted for
president.
Romney if
it wasn't
he were not
that he
an
was
abortion
Mormon. It was that his
supporter.
Well, and he brought Massachusetts care into being, which
yeah,
was
yeah,
really
yeah. If you weren't a socialist and an abortion supporter, in cases of rape and incest, I would have voted for Romney. And the same thing is true for Carson, isn't he? Jehovah's Witness, I think.
Something totally strange.
Yeah, I would have voted for him if he were nominated. So it's not being.
We're not looking for correct theology.
Yeah, I don't.
We're looking for sanity in some realm of life.
What the Bible demands of a politician, of a civil ruler, is that they uphold the creation ordinances. They protect marriage, they protect life, and they protect they facilitate labor. Now, there's lots of theories about how to do that, but they facilitate labor. They don't. They make it possible for people to work, and they don't inhibit that. Those are the three things that God gave us to do in the garden, and those are the three things that all governments must protect and keep. So, if a civil leader is willing to do that, that civil leader is supportable by
Christians.
Hillary does not, because she's not supporting life. So that's
right. So that doesn't narrow it down to the crazy, like we couldn't have a woman president because she's a woman. You know, we can't have a woman president because she's crazy.
Right, and Trump doesn't meet that because of marriage. I mean, he's obviously
Did you listen to his speech?
Did you listen to his speech? He was very much in favor of LGBT.
He added Q.
he said. So that's a problem. And I don't buy his not being pro-abortion, because he was right up until he started running for GOP offices. And
everything he says is so confused.
It became inconvenient for him to be.
Yeah, I feel like he doesn't really have actual beliefs.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, are we almost...
Now we're repeating ourselves.
Yeah,
this podcast has been rather pessimistic, but we should also say I'm a pastor, and I'm not in any way endorsing any candidate.
No kidding. Yeah, for once.
Nor am I telling you how to vote.
You can vote
however you want. You can, yeah, and I won't. I'll think you're wrong.
However you vote, it's going to be wrong.
If you're in my church, please don't go away from this this podcast saying that Pastor Matt told me I can't vote for so-and-so. I didn't say that. Vote your conscience.
No, that, you cannot say that. Hater. You hashtag hater. Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's really depressing. Do you have anything nice to add at the end to cheer us all before we carry on into the weekend? You're about to do a burial this morning.
That's cheerful.
So that sounds nice. I'm going to dig out our bedroom and try to make it so we can walk, and then we'll go to church tomorrow, which hopefully will cheer us.
We should. Okay, here's a nice pastoral thing to say. It was true. You know, we should, and I don't do it enough. We should pray for these two.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Mrs. Clinton.
Secretary Clinton
and Mr. Trump.
Mr. Trump.
We should pray that both of them will repent and
and
be saved. Turn to Jesus and be saved, and that would be
even
a great
though
thing.
They're really nasty and depraved.
Yeah, well, that's all of us. That's all of us. We're all there. We should pray
more, and we should be more cheerful too, because things are so bad. We should just cheer up because they're going to
get worse.
They will be worse. So
I cheered up, and they got worse.
Okay.
So. Well, do you want to close off?
Thank you for listening, and we will be back next week with more cheerful... It's the Democratic Convention this week.
Oh, that
week.
Should be fun. We should talk
so
about that.
So we will probably give our important
the
commentary next week.
The party of death meets...
The party of crazy.
Of death.
The party of death meets...
We were the party of crazy this week. Now they're the party of death.
Okay, good. So,
cake or death.
We pick cake. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week.